All right, just joking. Here we go. Vayikra Pharaoh. El Moshe vayemar l'chu yivdu es Hashem. Go and serve Hashem. Rak tzoynchem uvekarchem. Only your tzoyn and your cattle, yutzog. Yutzog is a good word. What does the word yutzog mean? Should be left behind. In the English translation, they say left behind. Gam tabachem yelechi mochem. Your children shall go with you as well. All right, now let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi here on this pasuk says, Vayikra Pharaoh, Yutzog, Yehei Mutzog Bimbekoimot. It should be stationed in its location, should not move. What does the Targum on this pasuk say? Targum, resources, Targumim, Targum Unculus, Ukro Pharaoh, Lemoshe, Vyamar, Ezilu, Pilochu, Kodom Hashem, go and serve before Hashem, Lechod, except, which is rak. Onchon means your sheep. Visorchon, sorchon means your bokar. Shivuku shall shivuku. So the word that he uses for the word yutzog, shivuku, shall, I guess, remain in place. Af taf lechon yezel imchon, your children shall go with you. And Rashi says, yehe mutzog bim koimoi. Is there a machlokes Rashi in the Targum? Maybe. Maybe there is a machlokes. Let's see what it says. Perek. This is Perek Yud. Let's see what it says in the Pasuk. Perek Yud. Okay, Perek Yud, Pasuk 24. Perek Yud, Pasuk 24, it says. Okay, Targum is Yutzog, Chavdalit, Shavuku, Azoivu, Targum of Yakavonikil, Loshna Kosev, Tatsigu, Vachain Atsiga, Eshbaik, Vachain Perishrashi, Mutsug, Mukamavi, Vain Perish Yutzog, Mikan Veilich, O Yutzog, Ideachainim, Avo, but Targum is Venuzil Perish, Yukum Gabi, She Yutzug Etzloi. Wow. Okay, so it's interesting over here, Etzloi. Let me go look over here. Look, let me just show you over here. We might as well look at the Targum. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan. See, I have two Targum. I have Targum Unkelus, Targum Yonasan. Targum Uvasoif Telosa Yoimin. No, wrong part. What happened over here? Vayoimer Paro Uvasoif Telosa Yoimin Kro Paro Lemoshe Vamelu Zilu Pilochu Kod Mashem Luchoid Onchon Visarechon Yukum Gabi. Yukum, they shall stay by me. See, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel learns the word Yutzog means they shall remain behind. Unkelus doesn't say that. Unkelus says Shivuku, abandon. The word Shivuku really means to, like, just abandon. Like, just let go of them. Okay, Rashi says Yehei Mutzog, they shall remain. Means they shall be in their place. They shall remain stationary in their place. So I'm under the impression that there's a machlokes between I think there's a machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus as to what this word means. This is a very unusual word. According to Rashi, the word yutzog means they shall be mutzog. They shall be positioned in their location. According to Unkelus, it means I want you to abandon. Shivuku means just let go of them. It almost sounds like Paro is telling Moshe, you want to go, there's a price to pay. People are going to steal your animals. You have to basically almost abandon them. It doesn't say that Farish, but there's something a little bit more. Unkelus, Yonas Ben Uziel says, Yutzog means, it means Yukum Gabi, it shall be positioned by me. All right, there must be a machlokes. There must be very deep going on over here. Next pasuk. Vayoymer Moshe. Moshe says, no, not only are our animals going, gamato you paru titin biyodenu zvachim mi'olos. You must also provide for us sacrifices, v'yosinu, and we will offer them l'Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, what is Rashi on this? What is the Targum Unkelus on this pasuk say? V'amar Moshe af at you timsar deliver bidono into our hands nichsas. Kudshin, sacrifices, holy sacrifices. Okay, va'avlon, we will go now. This is interesting. Nichsas means a sacrifice. That's a zevach. V'oilois, according to Unkelis, he's translating the word oilois as kudshin. Now, these two words, are they two separate things or one thing?
It's not a thing. They wanted to go to the zevach, zevach to the Shem. If they were going to leave their sheep, what would they bring for karbanas?
He's saying good. Yeah, actually saying, "Vayik parle Moshe, luchu iv duas Hashem, iv duas Hashem." David Shimon Esrei.
Unless Pyro is negotiating, you know.
He's telling them, "You don't need to bring sacrifices. Just go and David Shimon Esrei, have an asifa, have a hafgana, have go burn someone's garbage cans in the desert. What do you need animals for? What do you need to bring sacrifices?" You want to go luchu ivdu service Hashem. You can serve Hashem without offering sacrifices. Moshe says, not only are we going to have sacrifices, you're going to provide them. And in two words, zvachim oila, zvachim means, zvachim, according to the Targum, means, next passage, zvachim means a nichsas. Nichsas means a sacrifice. Kudshin means an oila. Okay, we have to see this in more detail. V'avlon, v'alvon. V'alvon we will do. No, I made a mistake. V'alvon is an oila. I made a mistake. So, zivachim means nichsas kudshin. Two words. The Targum is using two words to translate the word zivachim. The translation of the word zivachim are two words, nichsas kudshin. And the translation of the word oilois is v'alvon. In oila, v'nabed kodam Hashem elokona, we will offer them as sacrifices. All right, let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi says, "Gam ato titen lo daicho." It's not enough. Shem biknenu yelichimanu. Not only are our animals coming, ela gam mishelcha titen. You're gonna have to also provide. Now let me go take a quick look over here, and it says over there a sefer and pasuk chafei. What does it say over here? A nichsas kutshin shechitas kadoshim tagim shal shlamim uvezelfi hashita shabeinoyach hikrivu shlamim umandia ma shabeinoyach loikrivu shlamim mefarz zvachim lachilu v'olos lakrav. Okay, it doesn't really say very much. Okay, we'll leave that. Next pasuk. Okay, so here we go. Moshe says he's already, now he's softening him up already. V'gam miknenu, pasuk 26. V'gam miknenu yelichmon, our miknenu are going to go with us. Lo sishoer parsa. What is a parsa? A hoof. Not even one hoof. This is an expression. Ki mimenu nikach, we will take everything. Lavot to serve as Hashem elokeinu. V'anachnu lo neda. We do not know. Man avoid. What to serve as Hashem ad until bo'inu shama. Rashi. Let's see Rashi first. Parsa. Parsas regel. Even a foot. Okay, a footstep. A parsas regel means the hoof. English translation of a parsas regel. The hoof of the foot. The hoof of the foot. I guess it's an expression. Every animal that we have is going to go with us. Lo neda man avod, kama tichbar avod. We do not know what Hashem will demand of us. Shema yishal yoyse bimash sheyesh v'yodenu. Maybe Hashem will ask us to do more than what we have available. So therefore, we have no choice but to take with us everything in our possession. Everything in our possession must come with us in order to serve Hashem. Let's see the Targum. Targum here says, v'af, Be'irono yezel imono, our animals will go with us. Los sishtar mi da'am, nothing. The word mi da'am is a great word. According to the one who put this here, it seems that it's an extra word. It does not say this word in the pasuk. The pasuk says v'gam mikdeni yelichmanu lo sishtar parsa. Okay, are mi da'am. Let's see the English. Mi da'am means nothing. Not a single thing will remain. So the truth is, the Targum is not, let's go back to the Targum, the Hebrew. Is he translating? Lo sishtar mida'am arei minei. Arei because, minei anachnu nospin. We will take. Are because mine from them, anachna os nos vin will bring, will take. The niflach of Hashem alakana vanachna less anachna yod in man niflach kodem Hashem ad me sona tamen until we arrive there. Okay, what's happening over here is something very, very fascinating, is that the Targum is completely ignoring the translation of the word parasa. He is not translating this word. He is not at all translating the word parasa. I never saw this before. Talk about learning Targum. He completely ignores this word, and instead he puts it in another word. Lo sishtar mi da'am. We will not leave over in Egypt anything. Now, when we read the pasuk, lo si sho'er parasa, the word parasa means a hoof of a foot, of an animal. It's an expression. It's not to be taken literally. It means, like I say, today, this morning, the White House issued a statement. The White House doesn't talk. The White House doesn't make any sense. It's an expression. The White House is a symbol. The office of the President of the United States has issued a statement on behalf of the President and the office. It's an expression. So here, it's an expression. Lo si sho'er parasa, a hoof will not remain behind. What does that mean, a hoof? It means there's only one of four hoofs on an animal, and we're taking thousands of animals. It means we're not leaving behind anything. So you would expect the Targum at least to translate the words literally and assume that we understand what it means. But he doesn't. He completely ignores the literal translation of the word parasa, and he tells us what the message is. It's like it's almost like saying the pasuk would say, make believe the pasuk would say that the office. Let's say the pasuk would say the White House issued a statement, and the Targum would translate the office of the President of the United States issued a statement, and the Targum would be completely ignoring the words White House, because the words White House don't really mean anything. It means the office of the President of the United States. Here it's exactly the same thing. Here when it says parasa, parasa means we're not going to leave behind a hoof. It doesn't make any sense. It means we're not going to leave behind anything, not even a mashahu, the smallest amount. Lo sishtar mi da'am, nothing. Okay, now what did Rashi say? Rashi says no, parasa, parasas regel. Rashi saw what the Targum said. There's no doubt. Rashi could comment, and we always say Rashi has no limit what he can comment on. And Rashi saw how the Targum took the pasuk and he translated the word lo sishtar mi da'am, and Rashi was obviously not pleased with the Targum. So Rashi says, I don't like this, ignoring words and telling me what the pasuk means to say. Translate the words. Parasa, parasa means parsas regel, it means the hoof, of a foot of an animal. Okay? Next, lo neidam na'avod kamatech baravod shema yishal yoyse mimash yeshlo. How did the Targum translate that? Lo va'nachnu less va'anachno less anachno. Okay, we don't know. Notice it says twice. Va'anachnu lo neida. Kodam Hashem lokon va'anachno less anachno yodin. Why did the Targum have to translate the word twice, anachno? Va'anachno, less yodin. Why twice? What does the English say? We do not know with what. Doesn't only says the word we once in the translation. He didn't, for some reason, he didn't translate it twice. Va'anachno, less anachno yodin, mo niflachadom Hashem ad meisono tamon. Okay, interesting. It's got to be something over here in the Sefer that will tell us what's going on over here. And let's see. He says the Hebrew word, I'm reading the word midam. Okay, midam. Me'uma means nothing. Kosaf ha Rabbeinu Avraham Mizrahi. Okay, the Mizrahi writes, Unkelish etergi midam v'loy tekem parasa, so kemosh etergim yon loshen parasa be'yibin mafres parasa, hom it may. Shuhu rodaf achar hakavana kimin hoga bahari mukamis. Kiakavana kan lohoisa elosh lo yishor mu'uma mikol mikneim adka. Okay, so over here he's teaching us a very important lesson learning Targum. And the lesson he's teaching us is that the Targum is another rule of Targum. We have to really write down all of the rules of Targum. Targum is coming to say the bottom line. Targum is not coming necessarily to translate words literally. He's coming to give you the message of the pasuk. the message of the Pasuk is we're not going to leave here anything. The Pasuk said it in a more expressive, eloquent language, an expression. Lo nisha'er parsa. So the Targum, this is a rule of Targum. Okay, we look up, if we only learned this alone today, it was worth the whole shiur. Targum's goal is not to take words in Hebrew and translate them into Aramaic. It's not his goal. Some people think that's his goal. Many people, I always thought that. When I was a kid, I always thought the goal of the Targum was, because no one knows Hebrew, no one ever heard of Hebrew, and the only language people know is Aramaic. Just like today, no one knows, today we live in America, we only know English. Halavai, we should know English. Halavai, we should know even that. And the goal is to translate Hebrew into Aramaic. And after you translate it into Aramaic, it does not mean you're going to understand what the Pasuk is saying. You're going to have to go learn the Mefarshim. Now it's like a starter. Okay, you know what these words mean. You have these Hebrew words. You know what it means in Aramaic. And now, look at the Mefarshim. Maybe you'll get an understanding of what the Pasuk is trying to say. That is incorrect. The Targum is doing for you, the Targum is not trying to translate Hebrew into Aramaic. He's trying to take a Pasuk and deliver to you in Aramaic the message of the Pasuk. And he may actually leave you high and dry without you at the end of the day knowing what the words in the Pasuk actually say. He may skip a word. He may add too many words, will confuse you. Or like he does in this case, he completely ignores a word, the word parsa. He tells you the message, but not the word itself. Who says this? The Mizrahi. The Mizrahi was probably the greatest commentator on Rashi. The Mizrahi wrote a commentary on Rashi, and in the process, he touches upon Unkelus, and that's what he explains. Here is a great lesson in the study of Targum. Okay. We have to really to write down all of these yesodas that we come across when we learn Targum. Okay, then he goes on to say, then he goes on part of Yesham. Some say she davar ze yispar al pima she nifsak b'shulchanach she im yesh legoy drisa asregel v'chotzer yev shel arv chatzeres ad she yakiru she yiskiru rishusay v'dusa regel haydu she legoy yesh v'chotzer 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 נכנס מדי פעם לקחנו, וזה מה שאמר הרבה שרבינו לפרו, כאשר נצא ממשרים ולתישו הפרסות, היינו שנבטל את סטריץ הרגל שלו ממשרים ולחלוטין. על ידי שלא נשאר כלום. Wow. He says an incredible thing. Rashi says, now let's go back and appreciate what Rashi says. Incredible appreciation. No, doesn't say it. Parsa means parsas regel. Now, doesn't say, doesn't really explain this, but Targum said we're not going to leave behind anything. Rashi says the parsa means a hoof. Parsas regel. Now wait a minute. Who's hoof? Mayor Appeldorf. Is it possible to refer to the word the hoof as the hoof of a human being? Or the word hoof is only the bottom of an animal? I would imagine the word hoof, H-O-O-F, is reserved only for an animal. So in the English, they translate the word parsa as hoof. But in Hebrew, the word parsa includes the soul of a human being. See, that's where it gets really tricky. In English, you would never use, as far as I know, you would never use the word hoof to describe the horizontal surface of a human being, of the bottom part of the person's foot. You would never use that word. So once you hear the word hoof, oh, it means an animal. But in Hebrew, the word parsa is a word which means the soul, the bottom part of the leg of even a person. And what Moshe, according to this is a different interpretation, it's hard to say to learn this in Rashi, but Moshe is saying to Paro, we're leaving and we're not going to have any foothold in Egypt. We're not going to have Parsa means that the parsa is not going on animals. Parsa is going on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is saying Moshe, to Paro, we are leaving and we're taking with us our possessions. So we will, when we leave, we will no longer have a foothold. And this is to appreciate this in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a halacha that if you want to make an Eruv Chatzeros, and there's a Gentile who lives in the community, you can't. Because you cannot join a guy with a Jew in Eruv Chatzeros. Because the guy has what's called Drisa Soregel. As long as the guy has rights to step foot, for him to step into your property, then he ruins it. Eruv Chatzeros only amongst Jews. If you want to include a non-Jew in your Eruv Chatzeros, you have to rent space from a guy. It's a whole different type of Eruv. It's a whole different type of Eruv when you're dealing with a guy has a partial ownership. That's why the city, like people marry in your block, you make an Eruv Chatzeros in your block. You have an Eruv there, and you make an Eruv Chatzeros. But the problem is, how do you make an Eruv Chatzeros when the city has rights? The city, they own the land. The city, the Goyim, own the light poles. They own the street signs. They own the gutter. They own things. So you need to have from the government, you need to have Schiras Makom. You have to give them money and they have to accept it. And if you have on your block non-Jews, you also need to do Schiras Makom. And if you have irreligious Jews, you got a problem. Is an irreligious Jew called in regard to the laws of Eruv Chatzeros a guy, or is he called a Jew? Not so simple. Big problem. A lot of problems. Making an Eruv is a real nightmare. It's a real nightmare. In any event, so therefore we go back over this pasuk, it's an incredible chiddush. Instead of Yavanachet, but Gamil and Yechliman, Los Yisrael Parsa, it will not remain behind a Parsa. According to Unkelis, it means nothing. We're not going to even bother to translate the word literally. Nothing will remain behind. The word parsa literally means a hoof, it's an expression, and this is a yesoid of the Targum. He does not looking to translate the words literally, he's looking to tell you the message. According to Rashi, Rashi tells you what it means. It means a hoof. It doesn't say a hoof, it says parsas regel. And according to what it says here in the Sefer, okay, right now, it was worth it. $20. Is it not worth $20 for this Vart? The whole Sefer here has about probably 10,000-20,000 Verloch. Isn't it worth $20 just for this Vart alone? That when it says here the word parsa, parsa is not necessarily going on the foot of an animal, it's going on the foot of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to leave this country, and we're going to take with us our possessions, and we will no longer have a foothold in this country. We'll have absolutely no need to come back, because why would you want to come back? Because I want to check on my assets. I have merchandise. I'm renting land to people. I'm renting houses. No. We're leaving. We have no longer a foothold here. We have nothing to do with this country. We have no reason to ever step foot in this cursed place again. I don't know if they call it cursed place. That's a pretty thing to say. But it was not a pleasant place for Jewish people to be. Okay, I always tell you the whole debate, it really is fascinating. People who go back to Auschwitz. Why would you want to go back to Auschwitz? I remember telling you that story, Shaul Shudas. There was a person who went, who spent Tisha B'Av in Auschwitz. And he came back to Shul. He told the Oyla, my father asked him to speak. And he told over what was going on in Auschwitz, Tisha B'Av. And there was a fellow there sitting by the Shaul Shudas. He got up and he opened his mouth and told this fellow, what in the world are you going to Auschwitz for? Why would you want to go step foot in that cursed place? For who and for what? This week you have to go on a trip to Auschwitz and Tisha B'Av. It's so meaningful to you to go spend your Tisha B'Av there. How could you even fathom to go to such a place that is soaked in blood. And it was a lively debate. And obviously, different strokes for different folks. Kesheim, shem partzufim shavas, kach ein de oisem shavas. Different people have different approaches to deal with things like this. I don't know about you. I personally have no desire to go. Zero. If you gave me a free ticket to go, I don't think I would go. I have no desire to go. Mayor, what would you do? You would go? You would probably go, Mayor. I'm willing to bet he would go. Oh, he left and he got cut off. Okay, everyone has a different approach. Blazer, would you go?
Blazer, would you? No, I had the opportunity. I didn't go.
You didn't go. Interesting. Okay.
Rabbi, about this hoof, the words which follow, the sentence follows about animals, so it makes sense why they translate it like animal food.
Right, because that's what it says. V'gam miknenu yelchimanu. Our miknen, our cattle, will go with us, lo si sha'er parsa. Exactly. The pshuta shel mikra would appear to say is the parsa is going back on miknenu.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, every time I reach for the phone, it disconnects. I wouldn't go.
You wouldn't go? Wow.
I would rather go back to Bavel, you know.
Bavel's also a cursed place.
We're all in the Gemara, right? Thomas Bavli. So why go to there when you can go to Bavel?
Well, you can't go to Bavel. The Bavel is Sakonis Nefash to go to Bavel. Go to Iraq, you don't hear anyone going to Iraq. If they could go, they would have already had a Pesach Seder. Come to Bavel for Pesach. Pesach Kron will be the guest speaker. Shweki and all the...
Yeah. Our parents came from Bavel, though.
Bavel, here's the thing. It's something very interesting. Bavel, we don't know about atrocities that happened in Bavel to the degree... And we don't know like a Holocaust. Yet, there are numerous psukim where Hashem curses the nation of Bavel. He curses them. Because they are the ones... To go back and live in Mitzrayim. To live there. To visit, you can go on a tour.
What's wrong? Well, but it doesn't say that Babel, you shouldn't go.
It doesn't curse. I'm not aware that in Nach, they're cursed. But Egypt is not cursed. Bavel, there are numerous psukim where Hashem curses Bavel because they are the nation who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem writes, my anger is flaring against them. And that's why, if you notice, no matter what America does, they can sink into that place trillions and trillions of dollars, nothing is going to make a dent in that country. That country is doomed. It is doomed. It's a curse. It's mamish cursed. The United States, they're going to go install a new government. They're going to take down Saddam. And they're going to go and give them democracy. They're going to go try. We'll make three countries, one country, Azoy and Azoy. At the end of the day, whatever you do, it doesn't work. It's just a cursed country. Why? Because this is the Mokoyim. These are the descendants. These are the people. This was the capital of the nation that destroyed Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. Even though we deserved it because of our sins, and there are numerous psukim in Tanakh where Hashem expresses his fury against Bavel. So to go to Bavel would be pretty scary, I would think. Even though I heard about Deutsch, he can't wait to go. He probably went already 10 times. He for sure probably went already 100 or even more to go see what's doing over there and try to find things. But he was talking about it when I heard him give a speech. That was like years ago. He couldn't wait to go. But it's a cursed place. On the other hand, Germany, Poland, okay, Poland in these places, there's no pasuk that curses them. No such thing. They weren't even on the map in time. They don't even find any mention of them.
They weren't around then.
Exactly. Exactly. It was farming land. Exactly. Exactly.
Where was the bigger gullet? In Poland or Mitzrayim?
Mitzrayim. Only 1/5 came out of Mitzrayim. There were more in Mitzrayim. However...
How many came out of Europe? 10%?
A third, I think. A third survived.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the whole all Jews all over the world. There were Jews in other parts of the world. But the point is, the atrocities that happened in that Mokoim, you don't have a pasuk that curses them yet.
Because it happened before, which I tell you.
So tell me, so each one has its unique characteristic of curse. Bavel.
What is this
mile
of Europe? Give me one
mile
of it.
I'll tell you a mile. The mile is it's a mokum of where Jewish people lived.
And buried every Dalai Lamas.
They're buried it right. That's right. So they are holy people who lived and served Hashem be'emunah shleima for 1,000 years. Mitzad sheni. It's a mokum that is soaked in blood. Does it say, are there psukim which curses the land? Not necessarily. Mitzad sheni bavel. We don't know of atrocities that occurred there to the degree of what happened in Europe. But yet, mitzad sheni, the psukim curse it. So each one has its unique characteristic of why you would want to stay away. You would want to stay away from Bavel because this is... That's correct. It's correct. Even though they are psukim and nach, they cursed it. Yeah, that's right. They had no choice. They were stuck there. But the land is a cursed land.
There was travel going back. We to Israel. You had communication back and forth. No one was stuck there. You had a race.
They were stuck there just like we're stuck here in America. It's the same thing. Each one has its unique characteristic. Bavel is a place of the Torah that the Nevi'im cursed. Europe, I don't think you have psukim that cursed Europe to the same degree, yet the atrocities that happened there are much worse. So why would you want to go to either one of these places? Because once upon a time there were Jews who lived there in Sudan, Pumbedisa, and all the beautiful cities of Europe were Jews, the Meisr Nefesh. Okay, obviously.
Mordechai and Esther.
That's Persia. Persia is Yishno is different. Persia was not, I don't think, was cursed. And Persia, you don't have the atrocities like they have in Europe. So maybe going to Persia is not so bad. Maybe not. What do I know? All right, let's go weiter. Okay, so we have over here.
If you get a free ticket, let me know. I want to go too.
I told you, I don't want to go. I'm not interested in going. I told you I'm not interested in going. I have no desire to go there, really. Even a free ticket. Why would I want to go there? I don't know. Something's very unsettling about going there, to me. All right. The guy McNeil, Yelchim, one of Los, Tisha, Parasa. What is a Parasa? Parasa, we have the Maskana. We learn at least one thing. We learn three translations of the word Parasa. Either Targum ignores it, Midam, nothing. Rashi says, Parasas Regel. Interestingly, Rashi doesn't tell us, is this the parsas regel of a human being or of an animal? The assumption is of an animal, and that's what the Targum is expanding upon, of an animal. That's how they translate it here on the page, a hoof, and even the Targum. But here he brings down that some say no, when it says parsa means the regel of a human being, of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to leave this country and get out of here and never come back, and will not have in this country a foothold. No investments. We're not going to invest in this land and come and see what's doing with our investments. We're leaving and we're out of here for good. Incredible pshat. It's worth the whole sefer just for this one pshat. Okay, what else is over here? We're leaving forever for good. Good riddance, never to look back at this place. They opened up the United Emirates. Everyone's running to go there, to go visit. What are they running to go see there? To go see some buildings? To go see the what's all the big deal over here? Okay, people there, you have investments. You have to go invest in these countries. You can't even pronounce their names. Money. Egypt is not like that. Egypt is, don't even invest. Even if you can make $1 million, it's not worth it to have anything to do with this country. amazing. It's an amazing mahalach. It really changes the outlook on changes a whole different look. Okay, next. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, Vayechazek Hashem et slave paroi. Hashem strengthened, stiffened. Okay, Vayechazek, that's a good word. Stiffened. Stiffened et slave the heart of paro. Veloy ova l'shalchamash, and paro did not want ova l'shalcham. Okay, that's a different expression. What is it over here in Rashi? There is no Rashi. What does the Targum say about this? V'askef Hashem yosliba the paro veloy ova l'shalachushoin. Okay, so it doesn't really say very much. V'askef vayichazek Hashem hardened. Next pasuk. Vayoymer loy paroi. Paro says to Moshe, get out. Lech me oloi, leave me. He shomer lecha, watch out. Al toisef ois panai ki biyoyim roischa panai tomos. I'm finished with you. I gave you an opportunity to leave without your animals, and now leave. Watch yourself. Do not continue to see my face, because on the day that you see my face, you Moshe will die. Paro threatened Moshe with death. Okay, this is a cardinal offense to threaten Moshe Rabbeinu. Who do we know threatened Moshe Rabbeinu with death? Amazing, huh? I don't know if there's anyone else. Paro said to Moshe, Moshe, you will die. You will die. Amazing. It's an amazing pasuk. What is it over here in Rashi? There's no Rashi. Could it be this mamish no Rashi in this pasuk? Yep, no Rashi. What does the Targum say? Va'amale paro le'ezil mi'ilovoy, leave. Istamarach. This is the translation of guard yourself. We have to look at that more. Lo sosif le'mechazei apai, my face. Arei b'yoma de'sechazei apai temus. What does the English translate the word istamar? Beware. Hishomer l'cha. It says here in the pasuk, hishomer l'cha. In the English it says, take care. Take care. That's what it, guard yourself. Here, he translates it in the Unkelus, beware. Let's see what it says here in this Sefer. He says over here the word istamar, mishurish shoymer, ho'oisamach, tumuras oishin, kirego barams. Okay, it means to guard. He doesn't really say anything. All he says something is something. Interesting what he says is that in Hebrew, he says that basically the word istamar, make believe that the samach is a shin. So then it's shin memresh. Now there's a tof, that's Aramaic, and a tof. So basically it means guard yourself, guard. Guard yourself. It's more of a literal translation. Is that interesting? Because before we learned that Targum, his goal is to deliver the message. And therefore he'll change some words in order to give you more of a flavor of what the pasuk is, the message, and not focus so much on the literal translation. Here he's not doing that. This is a very complicated pasuk. He told leave. There's one, Paro says leave. Number two, he says guard yourself. Number three, he says al toisef ro'is panai. That's four. And then he tells him, the day that you see me, you're going to die. A lot of ideas going on in this one pasuk. Let's cheat. Let's talk him yonison. Yeah, talk him yonison. Is there an English translation over here? And Pharaoh said to him, go for me, beware that thou add, what's thou add? Not to see my face and speak before me, only of these words, so words that are so hard, for in the day that thou seest my face, my anger will grow strong against thee, and I'll deliver thee into the hands of the men who seek to take thy life, the men who seek thy life to take it. Okay, so he's saying over here, I'm going to deliver you to who? It sounds like I'm going to give you to Dostan Vaviram. Oh, that's Tagim Unkelus. We're not doing that. We're doing Tagim Unkelus. There's one more pasuk. Vayoy me Moshe. Kein dibarta. Correct. You have, the word came means you have spoken correctly. Loy oisif oid or ois panech, I will no longer see your face. What is it over here in Rashi? Rashi kein dibarta, yofe dibarta. The word yofe. Uvizmano dibarta. you spoke in the right time. What does that mean? Emes, it is true. Sheloi oisif oid reois ponecha. So Rashi eats quite a bit. What does the Targum Uncle say on this pasuk? Vama Moshe, yo'us. He's translating the word Cain with the word yo'us melalta. What does the English of the word yo'us means? You have spoken well. Yo'us means correct. Like Cain benois slofcha doivres. Yo'us melalta. Lo oisif oid lemecha ze apoch. And let's see what it says in the Ma'at Tzori. What does he translate these words over here? He says, Yo'us, yofe. The word Yo'us means beautiful. Ooh, look at that. Wow. Okay, so he's saying over here that the word Cain is translated differently by different commentators. Some is translated the word Cain to mean yofe, beautiful. And some learn the word Cain to mean emes, true. It's different. Sometimes the truth is ugly. More often than not. Isn't it amazing? It's a completely different translation. If you translate it to mean emes, it can be ugly. Truth is very ugly. And sometimes Cain means, it means, he's saying it means beautiful. Beautiful or emes. Now look at the Targum is amazing because the Targum then, Targum Rashi says every Targum Rashi, Yofe dibarta, Yofe, uvizmano dibarta. Now what does it mean, the Zman? I think Rashi is saying a third interpretation, that Cain means you spoke at the right time. That's fascinating. Because now go back and look at every other place where it says the word Cain and see if the concept of time fits in. Like Cain benois tzlofchad doivers. The daughters of Tzlofchad have spoken at the correct time. If they would have spoken up to before, or they would have waited until after Moshe died, they would have gotten nothing. How about that? The daughters of Tzlofchad, their father died, and they wanted a Yerusha. If they would have spoken up when their father was alive, we want a Yerusha when you die, what would have been? Maybe their father would have told them, no. Or maybe at that time their father was probably, it could very well be, if they would have spoken up and demanded that they should get a Yerusha after, when their father was still alive, it could very well be that the time was not the right time and it would have been considered and they would have been rejected. If they would have waited until Moshe died and asked Yehoshua to get a chelik in the land, Yehoshua will say, nothing I can do for you. I'm not Moshe. I can't go talk to Hashem and ask you. The Benois Tzlofchad spoke at the right time. The sweet spot. They knew exactly when to get the bang for their buck to speak at the right time. It's incredible. It's kedai to come for me, the whole thing, just for this. Incredible. Cain dibarta, one translation is Yofa dibarta. The third translation is Emes. True. Emes and Yofe are completely different ends of the world. Like I told you, because most of the time the Emes is ugly as sin. When you know what's really going on, it's horrifying. And here we have a new pshat. Unbelievable. It means uvizmanu dibarta. This is something you have to write down. Remember this. How am I going to remember this? Shli oisif oir ois ponecha. You spoke at the right time. Now, why is that? Why is it the right time? That says the Shem. What is it? Why is it the right time? Why is it now Cain dibarta? I guess because it's taka true. Because now is the next time I'm going to see is going to be by Makas Bechoris. All right, and the Targum just said Yo'us. He only says one pshat. Yo'us melalta. Rashi is taking issue with the Targum. He's coming to argue. It doesn't only mean one thing. Beautiful. It means Yo'us means beautiful. More, it means the right time, and it means the MS. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're up to chapter 11. Everyone, declare bankruptcy. Mayor, we're up to chapter 11.
Maybe I don't have enough money to go bankrupt.
I got into a lot of trouble. I'll tell you a joke. I thought this happened to me. I put in for a certain institution that I'm very friendly with, jokes for their dinner. I wrote jokes. So I wrote, there's one of the people there, he has a trailer in his backyard. So I made a whole bit of, what does he do in the trailer? What goes on in the trailer? What's the trailer there for? So I wrote, in the trailer, he has Gilui Eliyahu. Then I wrote, or, number two, he has a whole bunch of jokes. He has a meeting with this Gevir after he declares bankruptcy. And the third one is he meets her. So when they saw that, he got very angry at me. Like, that was below the belt.
Why? He actually did the bankruptcy one?
It seems, I don't know, it could be. I don't know. They get like, oh my, how dare you? Like really, their face turned pale when they saw that joke. Obviously, I must have touched upon some really raw nerves.
Tell me, how was the cake? Did you try it?
Yes, I tried it. It wasn't fresh. That's the problem. It was very hard. It was like a rock. Listen, Mayor, thank you very, very much for the gift. I did. It was delicious. I took a little bit.
You should have given it to Yaakov.
Who's Yaakov?
The guy who walks in all the time.
Yankee? He wouldn't eat it. It's Chol of Stam. He wouldn't eat it. And he doesn't come. He doesn't come later in the afternoon. And he doesn't need it. I don't need it. Less is more. But thank you anyway.
You left over some. I'll eat it tomorrow.
I threw it in the garbage. I'm sorry. I threw it in the garbage. It's a sakana. What do you want from me? First of all, it wasn't fresh. I'm sorry. It wasn't fresh. It's not healthy. It wasn't fresh. I'm sorry. It really wasn't fresh. But thank you very, very much. If you ever get high sodium pretzels, that I love that stuff. That those. The,
okay.
By the way, the it wasn't so bad. The pretzels that you gave me, they were not really that bad. The sodium was less than many other brands. It was okay. The potato chips, I mean, that was really over the top, but it was delicious.
This is 13%. The threshold is 13%.
Sodium? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
All right. I'll bring you some tomorrow.
You don't have to bring me anything. You don't have to bring me. You get from this guy. You get from this guy.
Who?
Where'd you get those from? That same person? That you told me about?
No, I don't want to tell you where I got it. What's the difference?
All right. Have a good night. You don't have to bring. You don't have to schlep. You're not my shaking goal. You don't have to do nothing for me. Thank you very, very much. Have a good night. Sei gesund. Sei gesund. Good night, Mr. and Ms. Glatter. Good night, Heshi Barth. Sei gesund. I'm going to sign off. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to sign off and get a phone call.